All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It is a Wednesday morning. Let's see, at last check here, it was 9 below on Lake Wasota. Maybe it's warmed up a degree or so, but we're waiting for the snow to come, and then the winds are going to howl beyond that and make things rather treacherous. So we hope you get a chance to hunker down wherever you are and just kind of enjoy the view of it and not have to grumble that you're out in it. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk live to State Representative Greta Neubauer, the Assembly Minority Leader. And as the Democratic leader, she wants to let us know about her caucus's priorities for the upcoming legislative session, for the state budget, for things that, you know, she believes Governor Tony Evers should stand up for, and the things that he should veto if they were to be passed by the Republican-controlled legislature. We'll talk to a representative from XL Energy at 7:30, a bit more about the storm that is coming our way and how the utility is preparing to try to avoid having as many power outages as, say, last week's snow that was so wet and heavy. And I'm telling you, I was driving around Chippewa last night, and there are still so many trees, large limbs that are weighed down from that wet, heavy snow. And I do wonder how much more they can handle and whether the stuff that's going to fall today, tonight, tomorrow is going to lead to more of these trees falling and what that might do to the power line situation as well. And then at 7:50, Todd Alba will tell us what's coming up on his fine radio program on some many of the Civic Media radio stations coming up at the top of the next hour. Governor Evers is doing end of the year interviews as well with folks, and he recently spoke to the Associated Press, and we talked in the last hour about how he has promised that he would veto a flat tax bill that would come from Republicans, whereas he wants a 10% cut for the middle class. And again, with a $6 billion state surplus, there's probably room to make everybody happy. But I suppose Republicans will feel the need to first send their own version to Evers to be vetoed and, you know, make a statement, and then they'll try to maybe hash something out. At least I hope it goes that smoothly. That would be fortunate here in Wisconsin legislative politics. Meanwhile, the governor also told the AP that he is not ruling out the use of state funds to help construct a passenger rail line between Milwaukee and Madison, one that would also expand the connections between Chicago and St. Paul. Evers said he supports the proposed rail project, but is still waiting to see what federal funds will be available through the bipartisan infrastructure law and other sources before he commits anything on the state's behalf. We should find out more on February 15th when Evers delivers his budget bill, his proposal for the next 2 years, to the Republican-controlled legislature. You will recall that in one of the great tragedies of Wisconsin politics, newly elected Governor Scott Walker turned down $810 million in federal funding to construct a rail line, along with all of the manufacturing of trains, the other rail jobs, all of the economic development that would have come along with it, all because of this excuse that, you know, the federal government pays so much of it, but then the state would be subsidizing rail. And I wanted to seize on that word, subsidizing, that we'd be subsidizing rail. We're subsidizing automobiles right now with all the roads that we build. We're subsidizing the men and women who choose to serve in the Wisconsin National Guard. We are subsidizing farmers, the people who feed us. Subsidize is merely a code word. It's code word for a thing that's good for many others, but I don't like it, so I'm going to call it subsidizing instead of investing or being responsible. I don't think a lot of folks listening here need a lot of convincing about the benefits of passenger rail and reestablishing a line through the Midwest from Chicago to St. Paul and the communities in Wisconsin that it would help along the way. And that's just from the regional standpoint. From a local economic standpoint, again, anybody who has been part of the drive from Madison to Milwaukee or Milwaukee to Chicago, you know, routes that I traveled yesterday on my way back from Michigan, know full well what a difference maker it would be if instead of sitting in traffic, you were able to get some work done on the train, hold conversations with folks, catch up on this or that. And then, of course, the things that would spring up in each community around the stations, it would be an absolute game changer to the Wisconsin economy. But because it would help people that certain Republican politicians don't want to help, it seems, they look for ways to call this, you know, a subsidy rather than an investment. So we salute Governor Evers for wanting to, again, try to restart the process of taking Wisconsin transportation into the next century by supplementing our automobile network with a train network. But again, we'll have to see if we can't convince some of the Republicans in the legislature to actually work on behalf of the state economy rather than scoring some cheap political points every couple of years. More about all of this with State Representative Greta Neubauer, leader of the Assembly Democrats, on the other side of this break on Up North News Radio. Now, quarter past seven on Up North News Radio. With a reminder, you can watch us online through Facebook. Go to the Up North News page on Facebook or our flagship station in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio. And if you ever miss a show on the radio or want to listen back to any of them, go to civicmedia.us. When you click on any show, you'll see a listing of all of our recent episodes. You can listen there or click the links to subscribe as a podcast with Apple, Spotify, and much more. Joined now by State Representative Greta Neubauer, Assembly Democratic leader, as we look ahead to the next legislative session and the next state budget and how to handle a record surplus. Representative, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, great to see you, Pat. Thank you for having me this morning.
I hope you've got some good holiday plans ahead of you and hopefully nothing that's going to be, you know, mucked up too much by this storm coming in.
Oh my gosh. I was just looking at the radar, getting ready. It's going to be quite a storm.
I know. So the legislature is getting set to go back to work, which again, is something new and novel for the Republican leadership there, but you know, they'll have to come in and eventually start crafting a state budget. They do have a significant majority, but they, you know, had hoped to have a new governor. They do not. They have to work with Governor Evers in a second term, taking input as well from Assembly and Senate Democrats. The question has to be asked from the get-go, do we anticipate things will be a little bit better now that they've seen that Governor Evers is winning a second term, or are you expecting more of the same?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, it's been a very challenging time in the legislature when it comes to partisanship and polarization. Many folks may remember that last session, only 2% of bills proposed by Democrats even got a hearing in the state assembly. So I am hopeful that things will go uphill from here. They have to, right? I think the people of Wisconsin really demand it of all of us because it's not good for the institution. It's not good for the people of the state when things are this polarized and partisan. I have seen some hopeful signs that we are going to be able to get some more done this session. As I said, I think the people of Wisconsin have been pretty clear that there are some major issues that they would like us to address this session, some longstanding challenges we've had in Wisconsin. And I have, had conversations with folks across the aisle. I've seen our colleagues in the Democratic caucus meeting with folks on the other side of the aisle, trying to find some common ground on bills that we can move forward this session.
So you feel you have a positive feeling that some of the rank and file members on the Republican side and some of the members on the Democratic side are going to be able to have those conversations beyond the budget bill and say, you know, here's something we can get done. I mean, and to be fair, some of that was done in the 2021 session in terms of getting some bills passed as well.
Yeah, I do. You know, our members have worked really hard to build those relationships over many years. It obviously has been the primary way that bills have moved forward that impact our constituents is working closely with Republicans on those bills. It's hard for us to get things through, but our members have always tried and definitely will continue to do so this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've certainly heard a bit from Governor Evers about what his priorities would be. And he's made clear that the things that he campaigned on this past year are things that he's going to include in the budget bill. So let's start with some of what the governor's talking about, and then I'll ask what you and your caucus members have also been saying about your priorities for the state budget bill. But in terms of what the governor is proposing, again, any surprises, anything that you know, hope actually is changed somewhat from what he proposed in one form or another?
No, you know, we've been in really good communication. All of our members have been in conversation with the governor about the proposals coming out of their districts and, you know, their bills in past years. And so I think we're going to be really aligned on this budget, really, frankly, as we have been in the past. Our members are very excited to get going on this state budget because we do know that there are so many challenges that really our constituents need us to address pretty urgently. And we are hopeful that we will see more movement, as we said, in this budget in addressing some of those longstanding issues. I'd mentioned shared revenue, right? Local government funding, some more investment in our K-12 and higher education. There's a lot of things we need to get done in this budget.
There are things that also the governor has said that he proposed and is going to propose again. For example, capping insulin copay at $35, repealing the minimum markup law on gasoline, cutting taxes for seniors on fixed incomes, expand property tax relief for veterans with disabilities, lower the cost of caregiving and child care. Do you anticipate that all of those things are things that will get caught up in the final state budget bill, or are you anticipating that there will be some things pulled out as separate legislation that, frankly, could also, you know, get some bipartisan support?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, it's a little hard to say now exactly what the approach is going to be from the other side. I was on the budget committee last session, and we saw then, as we've seen in years prior, that if Republicans call it policy, right, rather than a fiscal item, it's often removed early in the process. But I do think that a number of those issues, you know, are not partisan. When I was traveling around the state and hearing from folks in the last cycle's budget listening sessions, I was really struck by the number of people who talked about the caregiving crisis, right? And really how much of a crisis it is in urban and rural areas. It does not matter, right? We have an aging population and we cannot take care of them adequately right now. And so I'm hopeful that on some of those issues that really do impact every part of the state, we will see some movement in the budget because it just frankly is the best place for us to be having discussions about significant allocations of resources.
When it comes to those things that should not be partisan and that you have heard from folks back home about certain issues, and I dare say in their mind, they don't care if they're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, that again, this issue is important to them. Can you talk a bit about the public input for this? I mean, we know the Joint Finance Committee will probably hold hearings around the state and maybe, you know, maybe there will be other parts of the process as well. But, you know, if you're a constituent primarily in a Republican's district, does that mean that they really don't have any input, or is there something that they can do to make sure that their local rep, Republican or Democrat, you know, hears their two cents on what should be a budget priority?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And, you know, I don't want to sugarcoat things. I think the reality of having extremely gerrymandered maps in Wisconsin is that the will of the people is not always done in the legislature, right? I think we all know that. We've seen that for the last 10 years. However, I have also seen in my 5 years in the legislature now, times in which public pressure really has mattered. And we have gotten some things done in Madison because people showed up and people kept that pressure on their representatives, saying, again, I don't care what your policy is and you know what your party is in Madison. What I care about is that my kid does not have access to a good childcare center, or my drinking water is not clean and I am drinking out of a bottled water, right? I have seen that pressure matter. And I think there's always more that we would like to see done. But for those who do live in Republican legislative districts, frankly, you have a lot of power. Because if you show up, you keep writing those letters, making those phone calls, it does matter. We do hear about that. And I think often people feel like we probably get more context than we actually do in our offices. And so actually being there at those hearings or those open office hours in district or calling a couple times a month, that makes an impact on how legislators think about what their district cares about.
It's so true. And we talked about this last week as well, that I think, again, one thing, public pressure should not be underestimated. I know from being in those caucus meetings that a lot of folks think that this is all a machine. They're just going to put an issue in and spit it back out. But you know full well, as I do, that a topic will come up in the caucus room and suddenly one person and then another will say, well, but I've been hearing from a lot of people back home about this. Now, just because he's right up the road, I'll pick on Rob Sommerfeld, Republican from Bloomer. He may toe the party line on everything, but at some point, you can envision him saying in his caucus, I cannot believe how many people from Bloomer came to my listening session and said that, you know, this child care credit is something that's important to them. There really is that kind of a role that can be played at the local level. You don't just have to, you know, call a switchboard in Madison. You have local impact more than you maybe appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so important, especially now, especially when the maps are so gerrymandered, to continue engaging, right? Because I think the worst possible outcome, what people who gerrymander maps want, is for people to stop engaging in government, right? And we need to get fair maps so that we can have a real representative legislature, but we also need to keep the pressure on in the meantime and make sure that we're getting as much done as possible in Madison for the people of this state, especially when so many are disillusioned with politics and government right now. We need to demonstrate that it is possible for us to be a force for good and that it really matters when people do engage.
And by the way, if you do engage, if you're calling your local legislator or showing up at a listening session, no matter how partisan you may feel one way or another, if you're talking about an issue, stick to that. You know, we don't need the threatening, the finger wagging, whatever. Just stick to the issue. And if it's heartfelt, if it's got, you know, some emphasis behind it, some substance behind it, rather, that goes a long way with your state assembly rep or your state senator. Representative Greta Neubauer is with us, Assembly Democratic leader. We talked about Governor Evers, some of his priorities for the state budget. What else are your members talking about? What is it that you'd like to see get done in this upcoming session?
Yeah, so of course, we are excited to welcome many new members to our caucus. We have 8 new Assembly Democrats this year, and they come from all over the state. And we all have slightly different priorities based on our districts and the needs there. But, you know, a couple of things that keep coming up again and again, local government funding, I mentioned this, right? But really, every kind of community in every part of the state has been struggling due to stagnant funding of local governments. And that impacts services that range from our parks departments and public libraries to public health and first responders. Really, it is ubiquitous that local governments need more funding in Wisconsin for the critical services that they provide. And that's something our members are very focused on. And I am hopeful that we're going to see some good discussion on that this session. I mentioned education, of course, and environment, clean water. We're always focused on healthcare. We're aware that, working families are facing rising costs right now and that they do need some relief. And that will be a major focus of ours going into this session because we are hearing from so many people across the state about how closely they are having to watch their bank account right now.
Sure. Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer joining us. And again, we appreciate it. I forgot we talked about all the retirements and folks leaving the legislature, 8 new Democrats. That's going to be rather exciting to have some new blood in the caucus. But good luck with that. Thank you. Have a great Christmas weekend. And we'll talk again in the new year.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your work. Great to talk to you as always, Pat.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. When we come back, we'll talk with a representative from Xcel Energy about the upcoming winter storm here and how to make sure you stay safe and how they can keep the power on through what's about to hit us. All that next on Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
I'm Mr. White Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow.
Oh, Aaron, very nice. Good work out of you getting the seasonal tune just in time to talk to our awesome friend Chris Ouellette from Xcel Energy about getting set for this next winter storm and staying safe in it. It's kind of again, we're on radio stations throughout the state, but not right in the Eau Claire area. But I feel like we're having a Wax Way reunion, hearing Don Rue and me and now Chris Ouellette's tones as well. It's like Chippewa Valley Radio, unite. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pat. Thanks.
Well, it's nice to have you here to tell us about what's all going on. Because again, working for Xcel Energy, we played Glenn Campbell's Wichita Lineman earlier, and some days the job can be a little quiet. This ain't one of those days, is it?
You know, it's not. It's kind of almost been one of those weeks, honestly.
Yes, yeah.
We've dealt with the brunt of it last week, as folks may know, in the northwestern part of the state, getting hit with some really significant heavy wet snow that, just to be honest, really wreaked havoc on our system. And we had customers all throughout our service territory who lost power, some for several days. And it was really a very challenging storm for us to have to clean up for. But we did. And now we look and prepare for a possibility of something happening again this week.
And especially with the winds that they're predicting to come in on this as well, it has tremendous potential. And I can never say enough about the folks that have to work in those bucket trucks, you know, like the folks that plow the roads and everything else. But I imagine you have more than a couple of crews, you know, standing by and getting set to mobilize on something like this.
Oh yeah, absolutely, Pat. And this is one of those, that's actually one of our big concerns with this, the light fluffy snow that's falling typically does not cause an issue for us in the wintertime when it's the light, fluffy stuff. It's the heavy, wet stuff. And if anybody's been up in the northwestern part of the state, you've seen that heavy, wet stuff still sitting on tree branches, and it's now frozen ice. And if we get those winds that they are predicting, that's where the issues are going to play, where we're going to deal with broken trees and branches falling on lines. You know, that type of thing. Last week, we had about 1,600 crews, support staff, people working all throughout northwestern Wisconsin in our service territory. You know, it really kind of depends on what happens with the storm and where it hits. Last week was also very challenging because it was in such a wide area. You know, sometimes in the summertime when we have significant storms come through or tornadoes come through, they're kind of localized to maybe one particular area, maybe one county. But that storm last week and even what they're saying now this week, when it encompasses your whole service territory, you're talking about some significant manpower that is needed because they are based all throughout northwestern Wisconsin. But as was the case last week, and I'm, you know, we're preparing as well, we had to bring in mutual aid. And we had folks from 8 different states that were here assisting us to get that power back on for our customers. And if that needs to happen again, you know, we will certainly activate the mutual aid, and hopefully some of those folks will come back out. But we had linemen from Oklahoma, from Missouri, that were up here. And, you know, and imagine those folks, you know, they're not used to working in this type of weather. So it's challenging for them in itself, having to battle the elements up here in a climate that they're not used to. So the fact that they were able to do it, you know, relatively quickly and safely. We had no incidents of issues. And like you were just saying, it's a very challenging work environment to have to do that. And now we're dealing with sub-zero temperatures. So that could also make it difficult should we have to get in and restore power, because, you know, you can't have people out for long periods of time. So you're having to rotate people. It's really quite the orchestrated effort that goes into something like this, but it's something we prepare for. It's something that we are ready for. We're monitoring very closely. And again, we will do our best because we know at this time of year too, living in this part of the country and not having electricity means you don't have heat. And that is also very, we know, you know, we understand that and the importance of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Ouellette from XL Energy is with us talking about prepping for the storm yet to come. And one of the things that XL, as I'm sure other utilities have as well, is multiple ways to report outages or to see, you know, where there are service interruptions. So, Chris, if folks are aware of power outages and aren't sure that they've been reported, what kinds of things would you like them to do?
Yeah, that's a good question, Pat. And that's one thing that we really tell our customers all the time is if your power does go out, and no matter who your service provider is, if your power goes out, the power company wants you to call them and to notify them. You know, a lot of people have our app. You can report, you know, via the XL Energy app, or you can just call the customer service line. You know, a lot of times people think, well, it's 2022, the power company must just know that my power's out, and we don't. So we really do rely on that communication from our customers to report those outages so we can get a handle on, you know, where they're located and what's feeding into those folks. And so the best thing to do, again, no matter who your service provider is contact your power company when you lose your power.
And for XL, that's 1-800-895-1999. Again, 800-895-1999. A couple of safety tips that XL has passed along as well. I'm going to come back to staying away from down power lines because that should be obvious, but I get to retell a TV 13 reporter story about how it's not really obvious. But let me get to the other ones first. Keeping the natural gas meters clear, that's one that folks don't think about very much, especially the vents there. And that could be a real issue if you don't keep those gas meters clear of snow and ice.
Yeah, absolutely. And last week, especially with the heavy, wet snow, you know, sticking to your meter, we were really emphasizing that with our customers. You know, now, depending on how much snow we get, we do. It's critically important that you keep your natural gas meters clear of snow. Just gently remove the snow around it. Don't use a shovel or a snowblower, but keep those vents clear because you don't want that carbon monoxide buildup in your house. And even after a storm, even, you know, days after the storm, if you're dealing with, I think we've even got some warmer temperatures coming this next week after Christmas. So then you're dealing with melting, and it can melt and then refreeze on your natural gas meter. So it's this time of year, it's not a bad idea to just keep an eye on it and keep it clear from ice and snow.
Then in terms of heating safety, again, I want to say we shouldn't have to keep saying this, but again, there's enough fires or carbon monoxide incidents that heating safety has to be repeated to keep people safe. We know staying warm is important, but not at the price of your health or your life.
Right. The number of fires that are caused by indoor heaters, you know, is really significant. So it's just being very careful with that. You know, and obviously if you lose power, you're probably not going to be using a space heater. I know that I've talked with some of our customers who in this last week have been looking and gone out and seeking generators for their homes in case this happens again, to be prepared in that case. But even running generators, it's also very important to keep that safety in mind as well.
So again, the wind could be an issue here. It could take down some power lines. You always have to assume that a line is live. Chris, I'm not going to use the name, but I have told you the story about the rookie reporter who picked up a down power line while doing a stand-up after a storm damage report, haven't I?
No.
How have I not told you that story? That there was,
I don't know.
There were very few,
God.
Very few times where, you know, where I can be rendered speechless. That's kind of a rare thing. You appreciate that, right? And so this, yeah. So this reporter was doing a, you know, piece about a, you know, the storm had gone through. I don't know if it was a tornado or what. And she's kind of doing her stand up and she's pointing, you know, to the trees and to the damaged, you know, garage or whatever. And then she bends down and she says, "And downed power lines like this." And she has this in her hand doing the stand up. Chris, I screamed. It wasn't on air because her report was going on. I screamed, stammered as soon as her report was done, saying, "And of course, you would never pick up a power line like that reporter did." I can't believe I haven't shared that story with you.
No, I did not know. And absolutely never, ever, 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 ever do that. And, you know, a lot of overhead lines go through, you know, a lot of residential areas. So people see them in their backyards, or maybe it goes across their driveway, or you know, whatever it might be. You know, always assume that it's live. And again, you know, call us and let us know that it's down in your yard.
Yeah. So you wouldn't be surprised to hear that she didn't have any other TV reporting jobs after working in Eau Claire?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow.
Well, I hope I've taught my kids well. You're the one in the position to have to take some of these.
Don't we learn that in elementary school?
Pardon me?
Don't we learn that in elementary school to not go near
a
down power line?
Yes. Yes. Yes, we do. We learn it there.
Yeah.
And that was one of the many challenges that we had with that. Now, by the way,
she was alive to tell you it.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, geez, I can't even imagine what that call would have been like. You know, we're laughing now, but I mean, it would have been an absolute tragedy. Yeah. And so, take this seriously, folks. Do not do this. Chris Ouellette from XL Energy. Go to xlenergy.com if you want to learn more about this, about power outages, about prepping, about ways to even save some money, you know, with everything from ceiling fans to what you do with your drapes during the winter, all kinds of resources, Chris, that you're providing. And I really appreciate you taking time to talk to us about it today.
Yep, absolutely. Stay safe out there, you know, keep an eye on it. And like I said, we'll do our best should those incidents arrive to make sure our customers stay nice and warm this Christmas.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Talk to you later.
All right. Take care, Pat. Bye-bye.
All right. Yep. Chris Ouellette from XL Energy telling us. Aaron, you got to come back on. I got to see your face after I told that story.
Yeah, definitely something you learn in elementary school. And also over and over again after that, at least as somebody who is an Eagle Scout, when I was in Boy Scouts, we talked about that a lot. Like, hey, you know, if somebody is in danger, stop and think for a second, because one victim is a lot better than two. And if like you're in a car and power line is out downside and the ground's all wet, just don't get out of the car. It's not worth it. Just wait for people to come and help.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, Grandpa here can tell so many TV stories and about myself as well. There's no perfection in local TV news, but then there are these moments with some folks who, shall we say, needed some remedial assistance with what they were doing. So stay away from the down power lines, and yes, do call into your local utility, because you don't know how isolated it is. It might just be a your home, might just be a couple of homes, might just be your block and no other. And don't assume that the utility company is necessarily going to know, you know, whether where it is. And once they've got it, it just makes it that much easier for them to take care of it. And please be safe along the way. The Milwaukee Bucks are in Cleveland tonight, 6 o'clock start time on that game. And the Packers will play in Miami Sunday. Noon is the start time on the game there. And if you missed it earlier, the Pittsburgh Steelers have announced that Franco Harris has passed away, just a couple of days short of celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. And I think a lot of folks have seen it. I think there's still some controversy as to whether the ball might have hit the turf at about the same time that he was catching it. But, you know, there weren't nearly as many TV cameras as there are now. And why would we want to ruin the mythology of the Immaculate Reception? Just one of the all-time great catches in football. We will take a break, and then Todd Alba tells us what's coming up on his program in just a little bit as we await the storm and try to urge everybody to stay safe heading into the holiday weekend. This is Up North News Radio.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch tears the snow in my clutch. Too much. Too much.
Christmas in Dixie. Eight below up here on Lake Wissota as we wrap things up for a Wednesday morning. First, let's go to the phones and talk to Todd. We talked earlier about Republicans being opposed to passenger rail, referring to it as subsidizing it, mainly because that's a code word for what you don't like. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Pat. First off, we, the people, ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And second, I think when it comes to, you know, things like rail and stuff, investment is the correct word, because it does pay us back something. But when we're talking about oil companies and we're talking about these different other segments of the population, it should really be called corporate welfare, because that's really what it is a big handout to industries that don't need you know, the word subsidy is always kind of nice, and people don't really understand it. The Republicans have used that word welfare, and Ronald Reagan and on use it in such a negative pejorative that, you know, we need to call what the oil companies get and people like that what it is, which is corporate welfare.
Yeah, exactly. And I really appreciate you helping me not forget the other side of that equation. I was so focused on, you know, what subsidy is code word for on the spending side for infrastructure that, yeah, it's sometimes easy to forget that we are subsidizing things like oil companies and others as well, Tom. So I appreciate you bringing that perspective to the issue. Todd Alba joins us now to tell us what's coming up on his radio show in Richland Center, Wausau, and Amory, all coming up in just a bit here. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm great. Look how festive you look over there. As I'm looking at the video feed, there's a little tree, a little poinsettia, little menorah.
We try to represent everybody. We try. The menorah comes from back when I had my coffee shops, and we had a lot of Jewish clients come in. And I'm not Jewish myself. I have many Jewish friends, and so I saw this cool menorah, and I thought, well, you know, just kind of a nice way to be inclusive of everybody, and I've just kept it. And so, yeah, so we brought it out in light of everything that's going on in today's world. I think it's good to celebrate Hanukkah and literally and figuratively give some light to the Jewish faith.
I don't know, Aaron. I'm feeling, aren't you and I looking at the sparseness of your studio and of my room with no seasonal decorations? I feel like he's making us look bad.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Maybe I'll have to bring in some Christmas decorations if I think I have some that I can bring in
for two days.
Now remember, guys, I'm stuck here in my apartment. I tested again last night for COVID because I thought, well, maybe I'm testing negative. I can go back to the studio. No, bright positive. So yeah. So I gotta do something to make myself a little happier here at home, right?
Hey, whatever works. Again, as somebody who missed, you know, half of last week with whatever crud it was, you know, anything that lifts your spirits until you can make a full recovery, all the better for you. What's your own holiday plan? Well, which I guess is impacted by you know, potential illness, but what would you like your holiday weekend plan to be?
If I'm testing negative for COVID, I will go back to Richland Center to see mom, my sister, and brother-in-law, health and weather willing. We'll come down from Eau Claire, but we'll see. It's all kind of up in the air. So we may gather on Christmas Day at Richland Center. I may be here with my menorah and my Christmas tree watching Love Actually, having popcorn. I don't know. so that may be my Christmas plans.
That's actually one of my holiday resolutions. I have never watched Love Actually, which is apparently like the quintessential Christmas rom-com or something.
Yes.
Never seen it.
Well, don't watch it with your grandkids, because there is a couple of scenes in the beginning of little nudity. It's nothing it's nothing overtly sexual. It's in the comedy sense. Wow. It's a British comedy. Yeah. But you know, you don't want little kids around when you watch it. But it's one of my favorite holiday movies of all time. Honest to gosh.
Okay.
That's like, I'm not watching it.
No, I was waiting for, I thought Aaron had something to say about, you know, exposing kids to a rom-com. So.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say the nudity is sexual in nature, but it is more so comedic. I don't know.
They're fluffers. It's all right. That's what they're shooting porn, but it's not the actual porn. These people, the characters are the fluffers. So they're naked, but there's no actual.
Now I'm back to wondering whether this is going to work for me. This is like arguing whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not. By the way, the correct answer is it's not, but
Pat. Oh my gosh. It's absolutely a Christmas movie.
We have different views on what the ultimate Hallmark holiday channel would look like. It apparently has, you know, deadly violence in a skyscraper, and it has fluffers apparently in Todd's view of what the ultimate Christmas cable movie channel looks like.
I'm also a big fan of It's a Wonderful Life.
Now let's combine all that. Let's do the remake.
You don't like It's a Wonderful Life?
No, I've seen It's a Wonderful Life. Yes, I have. Right. Yeah. No, I've got nothing against it, but we've gone off in so many different directions now. I'm just trying to imagine a supercut, remake that involves elements of, gunplay and hostage taking in It's a Wonderful Life, and the romantic relationships take on a whole different matter. We have just created a Frankenstein's monster of a Christmas movie here, haven't we?
We really have. Hopefully other people's holidays will be much calmer.
That's right. Hey, when you worked in the Capitol for Dale Schultz, I wonder, was there a lot of discussion at the time about passenger rail and expanding the line? I know that Scott Walker was running against it, but was that something that was discussed much in your neck of the woods?
A little bit. I mean, it never really was a huge, huge issue in Dale's district, which is the southwest part of the state, because I don't think a lot of folks ever connected the fact that, hey, geez, if I just have to drive to Madison and then hop a train, I can go to Chicago directly rather than drive all that way. So it never got to be what I would call a hot button issue in Dale's district. But yeah, it was certainly talked about. And I think there were people like Dale and other Republicans who got it and said, hey, if we can get this, it's a big economic boom and for a relatively small investment. But
yeah, I suppose you guys were just a little too south, southwest to get caught up in the, which corridor to use, either the La Crosse corridor versus the Eau Claire corridor for it.
Yeah, it was. So yeah, people were aware of it. I mean, I just remember, it was essentially, as you talked about, a done deal under Governor Jim Doyle, and then Walker just came in and stopped it. But I'm a huge, if passenger rail and public transportation is done well, I'm a huge proponent. I mean, the system in D.C., the system in Seattle, they're fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, again, it all comes down to both planning and execution. Yeah. But it's that kind of investment in infrastructure that we're going to need, because again, you can't pave your way to prosperity. Anything on the show today we should know about?
It's going to be a fairly calm show. We'll take some calls. I have a story on Coach Mike Leach, who passed away, a Mississippi State coach. It's a really cool story about things that he did in the community in Starksville that really went unnoticed. And now people are kind of coming forward and saying, you know what? He wrote me a check for this. He did that. Nice. And so he was a unique guy. I loved his stories. And of course, one of his acolytes is now going to be the offensive coordinator for Wisconsin with the Air Raid offense.
That's awesome. All right. That's Todd Albo's show coming up in Richland Center, Wausau and Amory next. Earl Ingram in Waukesha and Oshkosh. Stephanie Miller in Madison. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day. We'll see you come Thursday.